the ALAC and regional members, please do take your seats. We're going to be starting very shortly. Thank you.
Not working.
If I can just please remind all the regional leaders and ALAC members to please take their seats. We have to start. We already have the GSE, part of the GSE here, and Fadi's coming at 10 o'clock, so we're on a very tight schedule. Thank you.
Squeeze in, I'll be okay. I have a printed copy of the agendas.
Excuse me, can I have your attention? May I have your attention? May I have your attention, please? Thank you. We unfortunately in this room have a very limited number of chairs. I want to make sure that at the very least all ALAC members have an opportunity to sit at the table. There may be enough room for everyone, but I'm not sure. And if there's any ALAC members who are not at the table, please make their presence known. This is incoming and outgoing ALAC members. So any people who are today ALAC members or will be on Friday. Thank you.
Lose some of Ariel's or Sylvia may have collected. Ariel, can you use the timer without? No, I said asking you, can you? Yes, okay. What we're going to do is we're going to use the timer for every speaker, not for every round room, not the people at the front. Okay, but without the beeper, unless people start ignoring it, in which case we'll turn it on. 2 minutes.
Go on red carpets and stuff like that.
Very comfortable, and you can walk in here.
There is a cloakroom here. But there is. There usually is a cloakroom. That's so, yeah.
Normally, you would trust with your computer.
Yeah.
Okay, that's. I understand the risks. But
really. I don't think it's that risky because, you know, in general.
All right, can we start? Are we ready with the remote participation and recording? We are. Thank you. Good morning to all. This is the first session of the Sunday today. The meeting officially starts tomorrow. You're all nice and awake for day minus one. A couple of housekeeping notes. And well, we have a couple of people who were not able to make it yesterday during the day, and I'd like to do some quick introductions and give each a minute or so to introduce themselves. One, we have Wafa, who will be joining the ALAC at the end of the week. If you could just give us a minute or so and tell us who you are. Where you're from.
So as you said, I'm Wafa. I'm from Tunisia. I'm a head of department at Tunisian Internet Agency. I manage our CTLD and IP resources. Nice to meet you all. I have three children. That's all.
Thank you very much. And is Jimmy in the room? Jimmy is an existing ALAC member who couldn't make it until last night.
No.
Apparently not. So we cannot. Well, so did I. That's how I know he's here. I'd also like to welcome, this is a Euralo General Assembly meeting, and we're having a significant number of Euralo ALSs represented, and they're starting to come into the room to our meeting, so I won't take the time right now, unfortunately, to allow you to introduce yourselves, but you're welcome, and I hope you have a satisfying meeting. There is an Adobe Connect for this session. Suggest everyone log in. However, for speaking, if you are physically in the room, then take your name card and just raise it. I or whoever's chairing the meeting will do our best to notice it. If we don't seem to notice you, wave a little bit. If you don't have a name card, put your hand up. We will do our best to maintain the speaker list and not exclude everyone. Sometimes it's hard to see people at the side, though, so do your best to make yourself known. These meetings do tend to go on, and have a number of speakers who will be coming in on time, even if we're not on time. We will be, in general, limiting interventions from around the table to 2 minutes. We will be using a timer that is in the upper right-hand corner of the screen. We will not use the beeper at this point, but I ask people to respect the 2 minutes. After, we will turn on the beeper, and if the beeper goes off, finish a sentence or two, but you can't go on for another 2 minutes. Great. When you're speaking, speak slowly enough that the interpreters can actually understand you and have an opportunity to translate. Try not to speak too quickly.
Lastly, we have had a habit meeting of starting late. This introduction period is from 9 to 9:15, and I started at 9:16. We really need to get people into the room and seated at the table and time for meeting. Now, I know that the meetings are stacked one after the other. Changing rooms, that's difficult, but many cases we're just in. Please try to be on time. It's not very nice to our guests, for our guests to arrive, to wait 20 minutes before they can start. So your indulgence, and please try to do that. Our first of guests, I was going to say, our first guests are global stakeholder engaged. Sally Costerton is busy and can't be with us. However, Sally Costerton is apparently not busy somewhere else and is with us. So I welcome Sally, and I'll turn the floor over to her.
Thank you, Alan. So now you all know who I am. That was a good introduction. Sally Costerton, and I've got my label in case I forget who I am. George Sadowski this morning, wandering around carrying one of these labels, which worried me slightly. I wondered if he might just be worried was at some point in the day. Very good to see you all. I know I say this every time we come to this meeting. Apart from anything else, for me, it's the sort of beginning of the ICANN meeting in a formal way. We have actually been tonight, so not in a literal way. You're enjoying the lovely amenities that is, I'm sure many of you know it well. This morning's session is for us to update you and to take on a couple of areas today. But obviously we can take questions on anything you like. Here, these lovely gentlemen. Not a great gender balance, actually, I come to think of it, looking at that. But hey, I run the team, so there you go. It's great to have them all here with us. We are going to cover two areas. One is to do the main majority is to follow up with you what's happening at the summit recommendations. And I know that's a very priority for you, and rightly so. And quite a lot of the programs that and the recommendations that came out of that report are inside our team in one way, shape. And I know that Alan is keen that we should update you, and I will ask the team to do that in terms of you actually on the system. Could we have the slide with the map on, whoever's running the slides? I know that you haven't got much time at that one. This is our new presentation technique. This deck, you will have this deck. If you are interested, and I know many are, in how we are handling engagement, brand new deck, which has been put together by my team, and it has some very up-to-date data, which is shared between data of, if you will, the kind of outreach, a lot of what my team are doing, but also how does what happens, outcome of those activities. And a lot of that is measured by the policy team, including what does the membership of ALAC look like? How is that change large look like? How is that changing? And the other, we are slowly making real progress in being able to measure and assess. And there's much more to come in the future on this, but I've been a little fast with this group, not necessarily being able to show why this deck is much more informative on that. See, on this map, is as some of you will know, we split our engagement team. before Sebastian gets cross with me, you know ICANN has five regions. We've always done this because five is just simply too much. We just can't reach with only five. It's just too big. So we realised early on. It does mean that sometimes, you know, I would ask for your indulgence that of Ellis, who does this with us, is very careful. Many of you in this room are involved with my team on what we would call the regional engagement programmes, community-led. And in more detail about those programmes, what we're doing, the goals of those are, how well we're progressing the process, how far are we getting with implementing the... But also, you know, looking at how what's the overall impact of that. And if we have a different session at some point, we can talk always... Tricky. Do we have a lot of progress? All know also that this is not straightforward. Some regions, specifically North America and the Europe region, there are many more stakeholders there that are established. Less pressure to have a community-based strategy, have a staff team being their people on the ground to facilitate their work in a slightly different way. You have these two slightly different programs. But I finish by saying now these teams are fully staffed up. There is an enormous amount of work. Many of you in this room are very active participants in that. I encourage you to keep doing that. And one of the key measures that we have in terms of our overall ICANN strat plan, which most of this work for globalising ICANN, and the second, increasing our outreach at a regional level, relevance and effectiveness, are one of the key areas at large structures. So you're very important, not just for this particular group, for ICANN as a whole. Finger on the pulse as to how well this is working.
Jones and Large had asked our team to provide some answers on many of the Atlas recommendations. We have provided some feedback both within our note and in the slides. And we wanted to focus on three of the recommendations they seem. One is recommendation one, ICANN should continue to support outreach programs for a broader audience. And in order to reinforce participation, really is the work of the regional engagement strategy. With us today, we have turned to a few of them to talk about some of the regional strategies. Very briefly, Mara from Latin America and the Caribbean, from the Oceania, Jared Engenou from Africa. There's are the regions have, and Jean-Jacques as well, but I was regions that have regional engagement strategies. We also Michael Yakushev is in the room from Gabriela Shittick is from our European team. Quite a large number of the team is here and able to have after this session. Very briefly, turn to one of you want to talk about how your regional strategy has been progressing, marks on it, and then we might want to open it up to the time we have. We should really focus on the questions. One of you wants to step up and talk about the regional strategy.
Good morning, and hope this is working. This month from Africa, I'm VP for Africa. Quickly, I'll just say that our Africa strategy, now we are having our second session, and which the community actually, you know, assisted a lot on that. So the new version of it, you know, much different, you know, because we do have two objectives here, which is increase participation, you know, the African region to the ICANN, but also make sure that we support, you know, the DNS, you know, market in Africa. These are the two key, you know, areas that we are working. And we do have a host of, you know, projects around, and the flagship projects are, for instance, the DNSSEC, for instance, issues. We are also having, you know, working on the DNS entrepreneurship. We are going to launch, you know, these startups ideas in a few countries in Africa. Quickly, we are expecting two concrete results, you know, increase participation within ICANN, but also make sure that ICANN is better known in Africa. And then the second one is quite specific. How do we really contribute to the digital economy, you know, in Africa, especially by supporting, you know, whatever initiatives are on the ground that people really could start, you know, this business and also eventually contribute also to the whole policy development, you know, within within ICANN. So these are really the two areas I would say we are working on, and we do appreciate, you know, the support we are receiving from the at large, and most of you guys here assisted us, especially when we were doing our sustained work on the transition thing in Africa. Some of you guys, you know, help through. I think we really like this, and we think that that will also be continuing in the future. So thank you.
Hello, everybody. This is Rodrigo de la Parra. So I'm going to provide an update in Spanish. So if you want to wear your headset. Bueno,
Good morning to you all. Thank you very much for this opportunity. I would like to very briefly talk to you about how we've been progressing in the Latin American and Caribbean strategy. This is relevant because recently, a few weeks ago, we met again in Montevideo with the community group that designed the plan originally. Of course, this includes participation from the RELO, and it was really interesting to review the progress. Actually, the strategy is progressing very nicely. It's more incorporating more and more people, not only from the closest ICANN community, but also people from the region. It's people who have been interested in some of the projects, and we have reviewed the strategy that was designed until 2016. We are now having a new strategy, renewed strategy, that goes from 2016 to 2020. Our idea was also to align all the objectives and the projects that we had aligned before with the previous ICANN project, so we aligned it with the new plan. So the new objectives for the Latin American plan are now aligned to the new ICANN strategy. There are very interesting results. One of the main concerns we had in the Latin America and Caribbean community was precisely to have more participation of Latin American and Caribbean participants in ICANN. And this has been increasing little by little, not only in quantity, but also in quality. And what I mean is buying leadership positions within the community. This is something we are starting to see increasingly. And capacity building has also been one of the main issues, one of the main focuses in our strategy. From end users until governments, we have had very interesting initiatives in capacity building. So it is also very good to have this new plan, and I would like to thank all of those ALAC in the region who have helped us a lot to increase this discussion. Thank you very much.
If you could skip by it and go to the one after that. 12 is in collaboration with large structures, ICANN should put in place campaigns across underserved regions. We have some examples from our work at large structures, particularly in Asia Pacific, for as well as the underserved regions project. So maybe.
Sure, thank you. I think the Asia-Pacific region, we are very grateful to the guidance that has been given to us by AP Railo, as well as the support that, you know, from the policy team that we get. I think what has really been helpful is in institutionalizing the collaboration through a framework under an AP Railo and ICANN APEC hub structure. I would just want to highlight one of the features we do on a regular basis, and that is a regularly timed webinar that is co-organized by AP Railo and the ICANN APEC Hub to make sure that information pertaining to the DNS and information pertaining to ICANN affairs are shared with a broader regional community, and that the content that is being put up for discussion is jointly created by both AP Railo as well as staff based out in region. So I think this is just one of the collaboration items under the framework. Of course, you know, you might have heard me talk about the kind of language customization that we're trying to do in a very diverse region. I'm fairly happy this time that we're going to sign an MOU with Thailand to have them help us translate materials into Thai. And of course, in addition to that, with many of our partners in the region, we take the outcomes of ICANN meetings and have readout sessions in country as well. So that is something that we are very grateful for. Maybe I can pass things on to Bahir.
Thanks. Good morning. This is Bahir Esmat. I lead global stakeholder, and the Middle East covers 22 Arab countries plus Iran, Afghanistan and Turkey. And very quickly, in relation to engagement efforts, as you know, with underserved regions, two main programs that we embarked on a year or so ago. One in relation to development of the industry in the region. We had an agreement with a regulatory authority, NTRA, to establish DNS Entrepreneurship Center to serve Africa and the Middle East. The objective is to not only to develop capacity, to further develop the ecosystem across both both regions. In the past 6 months, we have run five workshops in four different. We're very glad that last week we were in Tunis and Wafat was our host. We had a two-day workshop with registries and registrars in Tunis, focusing particularly on the local market in Tunis, what the strengths are, what the weaknesses are, and so on. The other program is tool on internet governance. This is not our invention. No programs on internet governance all over the world in the past years. So we partnered with of community leaders in this field, and we this year and upon the request from community in Pakistan, the ISOC chapter in Islamabad, which is at large structures, they led and have a national school in internet governance as well. We were happy to support this effort as well.
For the last recommendation that we wanted to highlight, if you could move to slide 9, eliminating barriers to participation and engagement. One, we thought this really highlights the work of Journey sub-team within our community engagement and policy management team. Briefly about the work of the stakeholder Journey team, and then maybe that might be a good segue, and Sally and David might be able to talk briefly about the work of the community engaged policy team.
Hi, Chris Bondini. Pleasure to see all of you. Thanks very much. This team that Patrick just described is a nice opportunity for some of us to spend some time brainstorming about the future and to actually do a little bit of what I like to think of as research and development about the future ICANN. We have a shorthand name for work. We call it Stakeholder Journey, and it really looks at the problem, challenge of getting more volunteers, but also more volunteers who are more active, who stick around, convert from being followers into active. So at a very high level, we've looked at some data to look at where people come from, to look where they may get stuck, to see what some of their challenges I can. Because each structure approaches this question slightly differently, and each structure and constituency has slightly different needs. And we've looked at some, we've made some high-level observations about how we might attract people, their question areas are, what their issues are. So we're hopeful in the coming months to put together some sounding board with some of these, float some of these ideas. Those of you who have a passion for bringing on next generation to have an action plan so that the sustainability of Ike's community is assured. And I'm very happy to float some of the specific ideas that our group has brainstormed. So it's still very early days. This arose out of some of the SOAC leaders who asked the problem. And for those of you that we've talked to and some of the ideas that have been raised were very, very great. I do just want to plant that idea in your minds to think about. We're thinking about ICANN 15 years from now, 20 years from now, where will talent come from? And very, very eager to team with you to help attract that. So that's just a sort of a teaser about some of the work that
I mentioned last time we saw this group, last ICANN meeting, that for a year now, probably around 9 months, we have a coordination team inside the ICANN senior staff that is a composition of, to the best of our ability, all the staff that face the ICANN community, if that makes sense, saying it. So that includes the policy team, the engagement team, the digital engagement team, which is led by Gift, who I think has a separate session, the meetings team, led by Nick Tommaso. And we have two honorary frequent guests, CRD, led by Nora Abusita, and she has very critically the Fellows Program under her remit, indeed a very important element of what Christopher was just saying about the Journey Program. And we also have Cyrus Namazi in that group, who engagement for the GDD team. And the goal is to try and make sure that we have a sort of end-to-end or holistic view about how we as a staff organisation can maximise the resources disposal. They are not unlimited, as I know you all know. There are some to address not just the day-to-day response requirements. That's done really over and above that to tackle some of these difficult challenges faces as it matures and grows. And this is a very good example that Christopher's outlined. Putting some dedicated staff time into saying, okay, we don't want to just constantly say, solve this problem. It just is. It's like the weather. Because we know that there is a great deal of exhaustion in the volunteer community. You see a lot of the same faces. Whilst, you know, that's great in some ways, be able to do multiple different things, it's also not sustainable. Nobody thinks it's sustainable. And this is before we were handling the IANA. And when you layer a really big time-limited product into an already limited volunteer supply with no really very clear joined up strategy, maximizing all the resources in the ICANN community that are available, same goal, then we have a problem. So that's one of the examples. There's another work stream this group is looking at, the new meeting strategy, which I know you're very familiar with. So and we will take new projects into that as we go along. There are specific problems like that are ICANN wide, feel that the staff doesn't really address or could do more to address, please do let me know, or David know. We co-chair that group. And I think it's proved to be the first time we met, and I'm looking at Heidi because there was a light bulb moment when we all went, oh, right, so actually not all SOAC groups are equally open. I think we kind of knew that. But when we're talking, we throw our own arms wide to the world and say, come to ICANN. We're very welcoming. Anyone can come, you know. Our meeting is free. We don't expect you to pay membership. But actually, there are relatively few parts. This is one of them where that is literally true in the sense join at large. And there are some parts of the ICANN SOAC community, of course, that sounds terribly obvious, I know, but it helps us to channel focus the efforts we're making in the right way. So let's take some questions, Alan. Wow, lots of questions.
You just said, please let us know if there's anything you can do. There are two ATRT recommendations, ATRT2 recommendations, that recognize that being committed, working, hardworking volunteers is difficult. I'll try not to use superlatives. It is somewhat harder, those working volunteers, when they're not also happen to be working in an industry that pays them to do that work. Now, I recognize that many people who are paid by the domain industry or by business to participate may put efforts into it over and above what their salary demands. And we're all grateful. But virtually everyone in this room paid to do something other than work in domain industry and often other than the internet industry at all. Most of the people in this room, I would suspect, are here on their own vacation time, the way they get time off, or maybe unpaid leave. A measurably different situation for us than most community. There are some other selected parts of the community that are similar. There are people in the IPC, in the intellectual property constituency, who are not paid by their firms to do it. But nevertheless, they are highly paid people, I dare say a bit higher than most people in this room, and have a little bit more flexibility with their time and their... This is a really hard group, and I don't know the answer. The recommendation said we need some help. It's not just give us more piles of money, although that would be nice. It is really a different community, and we need to think out of the box about how can we get more committed workers, how do we lure them in and get them to stay when we have these constraints, which are measurably different from the rest of the community. I like to talk about volunteers in ICANN. Many of the people, not really volunteers. In this group, everybody is a volunteer.
Noted, Alan, and you just framed perfectly where the stakeholder mean, absolutely. And there's another aspect to that that I should early stage of development. Many of you will be aware there are resources for funding. I know you said it's not me, and you are 100% right. It is also about providing people with tools. They can. It's translations. It's kind of access questions generally, whether that be money to get on a plane or stay in a hotel, whether it's language tools that allow you to participate in an easy way, whether it's improving the search on the web so that it's a more friendly environment. So there are many touch points to address that need, and we've tried to capture most. So it sounds to me like you need to get some input. Alan certainly into that, Christopher. But Rob, I did see Rob. I don't know if he's still in here. Okay, so Rob Hogarth, and for those of you who don't know Rob, he's very tall, that's why I said that. And Jean-Jacques here in the corner, who's also quite easy to spot, who are also part of that group. Another sort of work stream that we've been looking at in Journey, which has been very much Heidi and Chris, is how do we take a holistic look as staff at all the money that ICANN spends on volunteer support, community, word you want to use. Because we tend to view it in quite narrow pockets because there are particular processes to apply for travel fund or, special support work. What we are in the middle of doing at the moment, and it's a slightly early stage, so we're a great deal of insight at this stage, but we will be able to getting a real sense of, okay, how much in total overall ICANN budget do we have at our disposal, I think is the best way of putting it. How can we make sure that we match that do as effectively as possible to, you might say, well, why don't we do that anyway? It'd be a good question, but I think it's like anything in ICANN, it evolves and it matures. And as we do that, we're trying to take that, what you're talking about, as a sort of it to say, okay, are there other ways we could do for unpaid to have a more sort of equal participation? I suppose to be a multi-equal, part of being a multi-stakeholder process is to try to deliver a multi-equal experience. And not easy, but that's where we are at the moment. I hope that's helpful. More on this, I'm sure.
Thank you. I'll just add one thing. Without making this into a gripe session, really don't want it to be. There's also a con. Those who have no money sometimes are treated.
Let's take that offline.
Let's take that offline.
I want to hear that.
We have a long speaker queue. I didn't see the order in which they're raised, so I'm going to take them clockwise. Olivier, Maureen, Cyrenush, Tijani, Bastien, and now I see, is that Fatima?
Fatima, yeah.
My eyesight that far, I think so. In that order, so we will start. Olivier, you can put your cards down so I'll notice the new ones. Thank you.
Very much, Ellen. Actually, both Serenush and Maureen were before me, so I first.
Thank you. Serenush Vardanyan for the record. Many of you know this is one of my favorite meetings with the global stakeholder team, and I really love these discussions with the team, as probably it comes from the success we are having in APRALO in our cooperation and communication with our stakeholder team. And we really had a lot of success by cooperating in the sense like Bear just mentioned, and before that, prior to Islamabad School of Governance, we also had a real successful Armenian IGF where we got a huge support from our Eastern European VP from there, from Michael. And it's not only money. It's really not only the money. It's the feeling for local ALSs to feel the power behind us, the power of great company standing behind that. And it makes also the importance of the work we are doing on local level as well, so with the support of global stakeholder team. So it's not only the case of money or the case of some other stuff, but there are also a lot of things to be done. So we have a great success, but there are a lot of space for us to move forward. Just for APRALO region, we are having the coming APRICOT, the regional major event there, and we have Oceania representative here, Save, and we are looking forward already for the collaboration there. Within at large, we have the subcommittee on outreach and engagement, and we created a calendar, the outreach calendar, and each RALO has its own calendar, and we also already are getting support from ALSs and Quick Team to the activities which are conducted from both sides to see where we can collaborate. So I would encourage also and would invite also global stakeholder team to be connected to those calendars and to see our activities and to see where we can go together as well. So thank you once again.
Thank you. I'm told Fadi is going to be here in about 10 minutes. He has a finite window. We want to allow him a bit of time. We're going to have to be able to end this close time, so please be concise. Next, we have Olivier.
So now I defer to the second lady. That's Maureen.
Thank you. Thank you, Olivier. Maureen for the record. Got to get in when you can. I'd just like to support what Serenush has said about our region. Could I just have, can I just have the map back again, please? Can I have the map? Who's got the map? There it is, okay. One of the things that, I mean, I really do appreciate the work that Quick, Xavier and Bahir have done with regards to the programs, the webinars, the sorts of things that have actually been produced for APRALO in collaboration with APRALO, which has been fantastic. But I'm still very concerned about that big white space that is above New Zealand and Australia that looks as if there is nothing there. There are 22 countries and territories. And from my perspective as a person representing the Pacific, it actually means that, and I know that, Savi is out there doing his thing, but I think that what, for example, Oceania seems to be pointing to Australia and New Zealand. I wanted to see where the arrow was going towards the Cook Islands for a start. But what we would, I really think that there's a big black hole when it comes to ICANN activities in the Pacific. 22 countries, there's no way that SAVA can go around everywhere and try to, we as an ISOC chapter, for example, we're still struggling to actually address it. And what we're, one of the advantages of PIC ISOC being an ALS is the fact that we do incorporate ISOC and ICANN activities whenever we can. But it's a real, it is a real issue for us, and I'd just like to sort of be part of a planning program that's actually going to be looking, that could look at how we can address that a little bit better.
I'd love you to answer it, and then if we can take, if the two of you can take this offline, if 100% hear you.
Hello. Okay. Thank you for the comments. So, Savi Vodia from I'm responsible for the Oceania engagement. So one of the things that, as you can see on the map there, because it's really a big wide gap. So 27 CCTLDs, about 22 from there is from the Pacific Islands. So in 2014, we started this stakeholder group bottom-up, where we brought the participants who have been involved in ICANN, a strategy for the region. One of the things that the group did was to highlight some of the main activities that be important for the region. So some of it was really on capacity building for the region, and how we could also assist in the stability and the DNS for the region. Now, when you look at the map, as you look inside ICANN, you'd see that Australia and New Zealand are very heavily involved and brought them for that. We have a lot of them coming. But the issue is, how can we still get Pacific Islands participation? I think one of the successes right now is to see that Maureen is now sitting in the ALAC. Never before in the past, never seen Pacific Islanders being here. In this meeting, we have about 9 countries right here through participation on fellowships. For me, when I go around the region, it's more coordinating with the regional organizations, so particularly with the regional body for ALS. And then there's other bodies outside. We look at industry, APNIC, or the Pacific Island organizations that are there. So it's good to work. Maybe it's not concrete in terms of how we could probably set MOUs. The thing is that they're very receptive to us coming in. In the past 6 months, we've covered about 18 with LEAs training in capacity building, and that also involves working with the stakeholders within the country. So one of the successes is that they are very receptive to us coming. They are all smart people working in the regions. They just need ideas and how they can interact and engage. Challenges really is still on communications, even though we provide a webinar for all Asia-Pacific region with the coordination fellow. The challenges in that big wide space, how do they get access? How do they pay for this access? ICANN, one of the reasons is that they can't access our online meetings, is that who is going to pay for their access? And that's being one of the major problems, so we should probably work on how we can do that better.
And we should also update our map.
We have 6 speakers, 6 questions left, presumably 6 answers, and about 4 minutes. Olivier.
I have about 6 questions, all on behalf of the Atlas too, and I'm not kidding. Very much for this, Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking for the transcript. I'm looking specifically at the Atlas recommendations for bringing us some updates on some of them. They weren't the ones that I had heard as the ones we were going to ask you questions on. There were a couple that were, but we had a few more. And so I was going to go very quickly through them. First, on recommendation 1, which is the one that you actually responded to, thanks for providing us with details on the local engagement. One question that I had on that was whether there was coordination between the different VPs. But it looks like at the moment some regions have made more progress than other regions. So evening out maybe some programs working in some regions would work better in others. But it's also related to recommendation 2, which was that ICANN should budget and staff to programs having brought valuable members. And here, several of our at-large structures have emitted the concern that there might have been some programs done by BSE and ALSs, local ALSs, were not informed of the events taking place. Therefore, they didn't manage to get anything out of it. So, it didn't appear to have local ALS engagement at all. So that's one thing which many have said in some regions, saying, well, the event took place just down the road and know about it. So that was one. The recommendation 9, I'm not sure whether you've touched on that one. Yeah, it's the regional offices. I think that's pretty much done and dusted. You've opened offices to cover all of the 5 regions. So that works well. Recommendation 12, in collaboration with at-large structures, ICANN should put in place campaigns to raise awareness and extend programs across underrepresented regions. Provided a good deal of information on that. So I think that's also pretty much complete. Ariel is taking notes, so she will be listening to the recording of what you've presented earlier, and I think we can... Finally, 41, the ELAC should work with the ICANN board in seeking large activities. That is one which has come up, and we're talking here about sponsorship, etc., for adult activities outside. So the question here, then, is how possible is it for GSE to help the ALAC raise additional sources of funding?
For the record, we're lowering it to 1 minute, and the buzzer will continue to buzz until... I'm sorry. Sally, please.
Very quickly, and I'm happy to take this offline. On the coordination point between the GSE teams and the evenness of the programs, the ones that are community-led are community-led. So the evenness is what it is. It depends very much. They are only facilitated. So that is a characteristic of them and the particular priorities that region has. Point: are we exchanging best practice at a staff level? Which the answer is yes, we are. We had a full day here actually with the entire GSE. We also had some other staffers with us to make sure that we on Wednesday this week, do exactly that. Actually, that was the theme of the day: to exchange best practice. So the teams are increasingly sharing policy readout. Fine.
I'm sorry, Sally. I'm sorry you're the first one we did that to. Tijani.
Thank you very much. Sally, I am very bad in thanking people because I am always complaining, always asking for more. But I would like to recognize the amount of work and the efficiency of your team. Especially, I am in the intersection of two of your regions, and I can tell you how in Africa, Pierre, Yaouvi, and Bob are well doing, and also Beher for the Middle East. So, just to tell you, last thing, I have a program for capacity building since I am the chair of the capacity building working group. To undertake some capacity building activities in the small islands in the Caribbean and small countries in Africa where we never go. And I proposed to Jean-Jacques Sahel to collaborate in this since he is in charge of the civil society. So I hope that we will make a very good work in this regard. Last point. For Marrakesh, we need really to work together to make Marrakesh one of the most successful event. And I want to work with you all about that. Thank you.
Passes, and I need my list.
Thanks, Alan. I will speak in Spanish. Can you use the headphone?
Thank you, Fatima, for the transcript. Very quickly, a couple of things. First, I want to commend the work carried out by Rodrigo in the Latin American and Caribbean region with the strategy. We succeeded in erasing this barrier between community and ICANN staff with very positive results. And another very quick comment. I don't know if it's you who can do something about this. It's about the fellows. Argentina was excluded from the countries that can apply as fellows according to the World Bank list. And in Argentina, there are many leaders who have been in the fellowship program who are currently engaged, and many activities are being organized. Actually, next week there will be an Argentina's Internet Governance Forum. I wonder if you can do something to bring back Argentina into this list of countries that can apply for fellowship program. Thank you.
I can't reply in Spanish, which I wish I could. Yes, actually, I can. You weren't expecting me to say that, were you? At our meeting where we were on Wednesday, coordinating sharing best practice, one of the topics that came up was this. And Argentina is not the only country that has fallen off radar because of this World Bank classification. And we obviously have to use something to decide where we're going to allocate the resources. But it's becoming very clear that in some parts of South America and also in some parts of Eastern Europe, actually, it was a surprise to the team because one of our team, I think it was Michael or one of his team brought this up. We have the same problem, I think it might be, Michael, I'm looking at you. Was it Croatia or Slovenia? very low engagement in the whole country with ICANN issues because of this. And Nora, who makes the decisions about this, is in the middle of reviewing how we do this to make sure that these countries are, we find another way,